Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:03. Here's what we have coming up in the news, 4:30. Joey Harrington will be at 5:30 in studio today since we have no show Friday. It's the Colorado-Oregon game. We'll knock us off the air. So Joey, best day for him was today, so... We'll talk about Oregon football from 5:30 to 6 tonight. And so listen to that, damn it. What else is coming up? Did you get my nose blow?
I did. I got a short one and in context.
Let's hear it. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, remember, too, and that a lot of these stadiums now, they're becoming less and less publicly funded. And so, again, you got to make that up because...
Okay.
Yeah. Make that up because...
Mike was on.
Threw me for a loop on that one.
My bet.
Wasn't prepared for it.
Make that up because. So when I do it, well, but for you, you're in the same room with me. So when I do it and I have my mic off, does that throw you for a loop too? Because no. I've been blowing my nose like incessantly for the first hour.
No, because it's not in my ears.
Okay.
Where when you
can hear it in the background.
Yeah.
But that one, I even looked up like, what happened?
Make that up because. Yeah, there was a pause there. I was like,
I love it.
Oh, all right.
Nope.
Make that up because see, I thought you just decided to go for it without turning off your mic. I didn't know that was a mistake.
That's a mistake.
I was like, holy Jesus. Like, there's this wonderful thing called a mute button.
Make that up because. Beauty of radio, Mike. Excuse me. Oh, man, I love doing this. Such a pro. Okay, so cue the music there, Meister. Let's jam brew. Let's take a look at the schedule this week in college football. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the crocheting Kansas fan.
Yeah.
This is just a delightful story. It's from The Athletic. I think I said USA Today earlier. It's from Nicole Auerbach, who used to be at the USA Today. But like every other good sports writer, she's now with The Athletic.
Yeah.
So there was a funny shot. There was a weather delay for the Oklahoma-Kansas game at 9 o'clock on this past Saturday. And so it was delayed about 30 minutes, and so there weren't a lot of people in the stands, although that matters not. There wouldn't have been a lot of people in the stands anyway.
Valid point.
And this, they show this girl, they zoom in, they're like, okay, previewing the game, they're coming to the stadium, and they show this woman up in the stands, literally all by herself just sitting there crocheting, which I think is adorable. And like, there's no one around. No. They zoom out, and it's just no one.
There's
no,
not a,
just her.
There's not a better just snapshot of Kansas football.
So Nicole went hunting for that woman, and she found her. And her name is Haley Solomon. And this reads from The Athletic, Haley Solomon doesn't enjoy watching college football. She jokes that she doesn't understand it at all either. You might have surmised all of this already, considering what you already know about her, that she's the kind of person who brings her crocheting with her to a live sporting event.
We've all seen that person, right? You go to like a Little League game or whatever, and grandma's there, and she doesn't want to be there, but she's got to be supporting little Johnny. How did she end up at the game?
So Saturday's game against Oklahoma was actually the first Kansas football game Solomon had ever attended. The senior, studying civil engineering, had only decided to go for one very specific reason. And she writes in an email to Nicole, she says, one of my most influential and inspiring people in my life is my structural engineering materials professor, Dr. Matt O'Reilly, who's been a role model and mentor for me the past 3 years. She had nominated O'Reilly for an award, the Board of Class Office Hope Award, which is honor for an outstanding progressive educator. And he won, which meant he would be honored during the football game. So she wanted to go and support him when he got his Hope Award.
Okay.
So then she writes, though I know football is a well-loved pastime, I've never taken to it. So I brought my crocheting to keep me busy until the presentation. I sat away, and yes, she's from like the 40s. She says, I sat away from the crowd so I would have a good view and contently worked away at a little potholder before the game. Once the game did start, I watched it for a bit, but somehow got turned around and managed to lose track of which direction my team was supposed to be going.
Oh my gosh.
The award was presented in the first quarter, and when it was, I cheered as loudly as I could, and then I left, thinking my presence went unnoticed. As you know, the opposite couldn't be more true, but I think it's hilarious that the one game I attend ends with me becoming a meme.
That is the most old lady thing ever. And how she was working on a potholder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, of all the things you could be knitting, you're working on a potholder.
So she said she didn't realize she had gone viral until she got home from the game. And all of a sudden she's getting all these text messages like, Haley, is this you? That looks like you. Who is the? And she's like, what? So she spent the rest of her Saturday getting messages from friends and family and people about her sort of newfound fame. She read comments from strangers online, which were, she says, perhaps for the first time in internet history, almost all positive. Like, she was like, everybody loved it. They were like, she's a hero.
Yeah, there's not many things that the social media universally likes. Very, very few.
So I guess Nicole goes on to say that she's a delightful girl. And she started her own charity where her and her friend, it's called Warm the World. And her and her friends crochet things and sell them. And,
of course.
I mean, she's just like this wonderful person. And then her last quote was this. She says, this article reads, she knows that her hobbies are a little different from your typical college student. She didn't go to the Snoop performance on Friday in part because she went to the late night in the fog last year and found it overstimulating. So her quote is, I'm sure I sound like a grandma trapped in a young person's body, but that's only because it's true. At this point in my life, I know who I am, I know what I like, and I know how I prefer to spend my time. I used to be incredibly self-conscious and even semi-ashamed of my atypical interests, but now I embrace them, and I'm much better for it. Ladies and gentlemen, Kansas football fan.
I forgot which way my team was going.
Haley Sullivan.
What?
So I text Meade, I said, man, you got to get you some of that.
That's what you texted?
No, I'm just kidding.
How old is she?
I would never say that. She's a senior.
A senior.
Civil engineering major, senior. Red.
Wouldn't that be something, though, if
Meade ends up?
If Meade ends up with the crochet lady. Something tells me
the love of his life.
Something tells me that crochet lady and Meade wouldn't have a lot in common.
I don't know that they would.
No, probably not.
But the ESPN meme is funny when they first sent it out. It's her crocheting. And it just says, college football is electric.
See, I would think, too, and maybe it's just the glasses or whatever, but
so good.
I didn't think she was a college student. She seems like
she looks older.
She looks older.
She certainly
than that.
Sounds about 75.
Yeah, but we all know that gal that's 21 and looks about 42. We all know that person.
And for those asking, does she have past racist tweets? Probably, but
have we looked into that?
I'm sure somebody has.
Did she send the Penn State starting safety a word about his disgusting dreadlocks?
Pull that up, will you?
I will.
Can you read that to us?
That is something else.
Now, it really is.
I want to be careful because we've been down this road before. I'm not certain that letter is 100% authentic.
Uh-huh.
We're just at that day and age where you're like, yeah. But if it's real, it's bad. And you know, they addressed it, and their head coach came out today, James Franklin, and you know, gave a big statement and said, hey, I support all our guys. But this is the letter, and a couple of the guys on the team sent it out. They tweeted it.
Yeah, somebody wrote a letter to one of the Penn State players.
Well, it was And I guess a lot of it was directed at, I forget the kid's name. He's their starting safety, number 26. His name is Sutherland. And he's got long dreadlocks. His name is Jonathan Sutherland. I think that's what it is. But the letter starts out, because it was addressed to him. Dear Jonathan, my wife and I are proud older graduates of Penn State. That's in quotations. We follow all Penn State sports, football, wrestling, volleyball, gymnastics, basketball. We love it all. I played all the sports in my younger days, still played full court basketball into my 50s, loved the competition, but never had the size or talent to reach your level, although the desire was there.
Thanks for the full court basketball.
Had to let him know, hey, I was an athlete. I was an athlete. Because though the athletes of today are currently superior to those in my days, we miss the clean-cut young men and women from those days. Watching the Idaho game on TV, we couldn't help but notice your, well, awful hair. Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or girlfriends who've told you those shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and certainly not attractive? We congratulate you on your game against Pitt, but you need to remember you represent all Penn Staters, both current and those alumni from years past. We would welcome the reappearance of dress codes for athletes. You will certainly be playing on Sunday in the future, but we have stopped watching the NFL due to the disgusting tattoos, awful hair, and immature antics in the end zone. Players should act as though they've been there before. For the glory, Dave, you know, whatever his name is.
Peterson. Isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, Peterson.
That's real. I feel like that's real.
It appears to be real. And if that's the case,
God.
Unbelievable.
And I don't know what to say. Although, you know, it's not like the Penn State alumni has anything else to be ashamed of over the last handful of years about their athletes. You know, just tattoos and dreadlocks. I mean, but...
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Like, yeah, what did that guy think of all of the shameful things that went down at that institution? Or is it really only about the dreads?
Well,
he's just a racist guy.
And the amazing part about it is he really doesn't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, he thinks he's being respectful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are like that. There's probably a lot of people listening. They're like, oh, what's the matter with that? Well, a lot.
Your disgusting hair? Oh, and tattoos. Oh, wonderful. And by the way, this was, and I thought James Franklin, who's their head coach, by the way, and it was, Jonathan Sutherland is the guy's name. He's a team captain. This was his response to it. Jonathan Sutherland is one of the most respected players in our program, Franklin said in defense of at his weekly press conference.
Yes, but he has bad hair.
He said he's the ultimate example of what our program is all about. He's a captain. He's a dean-less honor student. He's confident. He's articulate. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. He's caring. And he's committed. He's got two of the most supportive parents. I'd be so blessed if any of my daughters would marry someone with his character and integrity one day. And he goes on to say that, you know, that doesn't represent Penn State, that letter, and he just denounced it across the board. But it's amazing.
Apparently it's real. The texters are saying it has been confirmed.
Well, I guess the guy who wrote it is still, like, he's doubling down. He's like, like you said, he's like, no, it was a respectful letter. I believe what I was saying in there, and
it's like the lady in,
here's more racism.
In that video at the restaurant that we played, where they went and found her, and she's like, yeah, I know I said that word. I meant it.
Right.
Yeah, we just got a text message. Call me stupid, but how is that racist?
Oh, God.
Just a cranky old man.
All right.
All right.
You want to explain it or no?
It's not going to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
If you don't understand that, then nothing I'm going to say is going to help that sink in. That's just sad and pathetic that exists out there.
Okay, so coming up next, we have Texas-Oklahoma this weekend. That's always a great... That, I tell you what, man. I've said this before. This is the best game in college football. It is. Texas-Oklahoma is the best game in college football. Forget Ohio State-Michigan.
Iron Bowl.
Forget the Iron Bowl. This game, I don't know what it is. It's always... Well, I think part of it is that it's 50-50 fans, Texas and Oklahoma fans in the stadium. I think that's amazing. Right?
It's and the fact that
and,
it's
the, a, and it's always a great it just seems like it's always a barn burner.
And it's in the middle of the season too. It's not at the end of the year.
Heated rivalry. This is so good.
This is a great game.
But horns down, they're now saying could be a penalty. Horns down is, well, you know, the horns do the horn, you know, Texas Longhorn thing.
So now they just do it and they point it down.
Oklahoma fans point it down. It's supposedly derogatory. Is it or is it just gamesmanship? We'll get to that and the rest of the college football schedule for this weekend next on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next on In the News, the Portland Marathon was Sunday, and a couple people had an extra long run. And we will have hot urinal takes from the city of Portland.
And by the way, the I was reading through, someone forwarded this on. The newspaper, one of the newspapers out there, the Tribune Democrat, caught up with this the Peterson guy that wrote the Penn State letter. And he doubled down. He said that he's not racist. It was not his intent at all. He would just like the coaches to get the guys cleaned up and not looking like Florida State and Miami guys, which...
God.
Just going to go out on a limb there and say that you don't want them to look black. I mean, that's right? Because that's really the underlying message here. Anybody? Jeez. Way to double. I love when the racist pulls the I'm not racist, and then you double down with more racism.
Well, yeah. It's
middle
like,
of nowhere, Pennsylvania. Who knew?
You could sit down and explain clearly what is racist about that to that guy, and yeah. he won't get it.
No, he doesn't get it.
He doesn't care.
All
right, back to the Jamboree. The Roo.
Let's Roo.
Big college football weekend. We've got Oklahoma, Texas, which I just love that game. Now, there's some controversy here because they are saying that horns down, if any Oklahoma player or coach does the horns down symbol, hand gesture.
And Oklahoma already said they're not going to do it. But.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley said we won't do it. But they're going to call that a penalty, which I think is ridiculous.
It's the most bizarre thing in the world.
Because what's the difference in that? And like Texas Tech does guns up, right?
Yeah. So can you do guns down?
Well, people do. Like their rivals do.
So if you threw an O, like Oregon does the O.
Yeah.
If I turned it upside down and I threw my O down, would that be
a
penalty?
It's derogatory. This started. So I read a history of this. Today, ESPN did a thing like, why? Like, where does this come from? Because it is weird to a lot of people. Like, it's just a gesture. It's like, it's gamesmanship. It's a rival.
Sure.
It's what you do. It started, it's way back before Mack Brown, but it really escalated during Mack Brown's tenure at Texas because they were playing Texas Tech one year. And who was the stud receiver that played at Texas Tech? Like, big name receiver.
Oh, Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, Crabtree was there. I think it was Crabtree. Crabtree did that. He caught a touchdown or something, and he did the...
Horns down.
Horns down. And Mack Brown lost his S. And Mack Brown was like, that should be a pen. Well, he actually got flagged. I think the deal was they flagged him for it, and Mack Brown defended it after the game and said, well, yeah, I mean, it's derogatory. You should get flagged for that. There's no place in college football for that. So he made this whole thing about...
So it's like flipping someone off?
Yeah, that's kind of what he's saying. It's like a derogatory thing. It's not gamesmanship. And so it became this whole deal because Mack Brown was always really offended by it.
Huh.
And so then they did this, they did a study where they said, okay, so they had all these schools name their rival. And what they found was Texas had 11 schools name them as their main rival. In other words, Texas is coming from this perspective of, well, it's one thing if it's Oklahoma. It's another thing if it's all of college football. We're offended by it. And everybody, like, we're bigger and better because we're Texas and we're the biggest brand, and you shouldn't be able to do that. And Mack Brown was the one that started it. And to this day, they have got it so that could be flagged as a penalty.
That's bizarre. Is there anything like that in all of...
No. I've never...
Was there something, a unique gesture? Like in baseball? Like if you... Or I guess Florida State does it too. If I tomahawk chop... On the sidelines against Florida State, do I get flagged? Who knew Mack Brown was such a ninny?
Yeah, no kidding. So we've got Oklahoma, Texas. That's the game of the weekend. Should be good. As always, they played in Dallas. Well, I haven't seen the point spread on that.
Let's scroll here. And I'll tell you what, if you're a Pac-12 fan.
OU 6.5, maybe?
You are rooting for.
That's a guess.
You're rooting for Texas. You want losses amongst the big boys in the Power 5. The last thing you want is a bunch of teams going undefeated. I just can't find the spread. Searching. Oklahoma's got to be favored.
Yeah, I'm saying Oklahoma.
10.5.
Oh, wow. Man, I'll take Texas. It's always a good game, feels like. Okay, so we also have some other games. Cougs at Arizona State.
I think this can be a season-defining game for Washington State.
Good luck predicting that game.
I know. And Arizona State, by the way, Arizona State plays good defense. Offensively, I think they're pretty limited. But they're in the top 25. They're 4-1. But if you're Washington State, right, I mean, you've had two horrible performances. Well, you had the most embarrassing loss I've seen in years with the UCLA thing. You got absolutely manhandled by Utah State. During the bye week, your defensive coordinator quit. I mean,
by the way, did you see what he said?
Yeah.
Tracy Clays.
Yeah, that basically the philosophy of the speed D, he just couldn't do it anymore. That the defense was terrible and they didn't agree on how to get it back.
Yeah, and they were saying that it was personal reasons and this and that. He came out and said it was not personal reasons.
No.
We just could not agree on philosophically how to move forward. And he said Leach was surprised, but Leach now came out today and he says the defense is bouncing around again. Like, he kind of took some thinly veiled shots at Clays, saying, "Yeah, well now they seem to be back and there's pep in their step." So I don't know.
We thought Washington State was going to be a contending team again, right? They're cruising along. We're up 30 points on UCLA. It just disintegrates. You lose to Utah. Your coordinator quits. Look, I don't think this is an overstatement here. I think this is Washington State's season. If you go down into the desert and you get beat by Arizona State, and Arizona State's not a bad football team and they're not going to beat themselves, Washington State can have this thing go into the side of the mountain real, real quick. Because it's not like it's anything easy after this. You get Oregon in 2 weeks. You still got a Washington that you got to play. This is your season on the line if you're Washington State, which, by the way, right now is 0-2 in the conference.
We also have Alabama going to Texas A&M.
Whatever.
A&M, yeah, see, everybody says that, but
A&M's
overlooking A&M at our own peril?
No, A&M's an afterthought. I don't know if you've seen Texas A&M.
I have not.
But it's not that impressive.
Oh, no, I did. I saw a little bit of the Clemson game.
Yeah, they're... Texas A&M is a middle-of-the-road team.
That quarterback is not very good. I
expected him to make better strides this year.
Everybody's been raving about him. I didn't think he was that good.
No, and you look at their schedule. Of course, I haven't watched him. They're going to lose to Alabama. They still got Georgia. They still got LSU. They're going to be a five-loss team. At least four, maybe five losses before this is all said and done. It's... The Alabama rolls.
Yeah, go.
USC at Notre Dame.
This
is probably Clay Helton's job.
Probably. They lose this one, there's probably no coming back. I think he's done anyway. But if you manage to beat Notre Dame, in fact, if you're a USC fan, you may be rooting for just an embarrassing loss to Notre Dame to finally put him out of the misery. Because the worst thing that could happen is if Clay Helton, like, he ends up winning 9 games and you win the South. And you have a good year, but not good enough to make any noise. You already have 2 losses, one of them being to BYU. This may just put us out of our misery.
You're so right about that. It's like the Cowboy fans with Jason Garrett.
Yes.
You know, just
you do just enough.
And maybe you can get Urban Meyer. Mark May, I don't know how much you think of Mark May, the ESPN college football guy.
Yeah.
He came out this weekend and said Urban Meyer to USC is a done deal.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think Mark May is full of hot air, but, you know.
I'll tell you what, if I'm USC and all it took was getting alley-whipped by Notre Dame, which could happen anyways, and I get Urban Meyer...
Sign me up.
Yeah, take as bad as you want, right? Just lay it on me at this point.
One other big game, Florida is at LSU. Now, if Florida can win that game, the last thing standing in their way would be a home game against Georgia.
Which, by the way, that's...
That's tough.
It's a tough one.
It is, but I'm just saying, like, if they can just get by LSU, the heavy lifting for them... is almost over. Not that they couldn't stumble somewhere else, because it's not like they have a great offense, but somehow, some way, beat LSU, you could have Florida go into that Georgia game undefeated.
Yeah.
And that would be something. They'd probably both be undefeated. That'd be something.
And Florida isn't the most dynamic offensive team in the world. They're kind of like Oregon in this way, in that they have just been lights out on defense, and then the offense does just enough. And I actually think the quarterback they've got now, I think he's an improvement over Franks. Felipe Franks, who was their starter last year and then going into this year before he got hurt, I think this kid that they got here, whose name escapes me right off the top of my head, but is a, to me, the offense looks better under him. Oh, and by the way, speaking of, I said Washington State, this is their season against Arizona State. I think the state of Washington has their season on the line, because not only does Washington State have to go down to the desert, which is a huge one for the Cougs, look no further than Washington going, again, to the desert. They've got Arizona on the road, late game, 8 o'clock kick against an Arizona school all of a sudden.
Scary.
That has found their stride a little bit here. They've won 4 in a row. They're looking good on offense. All the turmoil gone up in Washington. You lose this one, and all of a sudden you go to 4-3. Huge game for the Huskies in Arizona.
Which Pac-12 team can make a bigger statement? Oregon State's playing Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, if they knock off Washington. USC, if they win at Notre Dame. Probably the Arizona State or Washington State winner. And even Colorado, if they could come to Autzen and pull off an upset.
I think Arizona.
I think so, too. I think they beat Washington. It's like, oh.
Because they'd be, what, 5-1?
5-1.
Yeah.
With a loss to Hawaii.
Yeah.
In week 0.
God.
Go figure. And they looked awful in that game, too. And now all of a sudden they've kind of, like I said, they've gained their footing.
You don't think it's USC? Man, if they beat Notre Dame Notre Dame.
I think there's a lot of teams that can make statements. But yes, I would lean towards you. If USC beats Notre Dame on the road, one, it could save Clay Helton's job. And two, you know, in a South that appears to be wide open, you know, that kind of asserts a little bit of that asserts a little bit of chutzpah there. Remember, they've already beaten Utah. For as much as crap as we want to give USC, USC beat Utah. So you win this one at Notre Dame, absolutely USC, I think, jumps up. But every one of these games.
Does USC even want Clay Helton to save his job?
No, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we just said that.
And then you mentioned Oregon State. What would it mean for Oregon State to beat Utah? Now, I think, by the way, that one's probably the...
It's the longest shot, but the spread's only like 12 or something.
13.5.
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad.
No. 2 touchdowns.
A respectable little point spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they knock off Utah, watch out.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Oh, I don't mean watch out in terms of like, oh, they're going places. I just mean that, like, that is a statement that, hey, we're on the way.
That's a program-defining win.
Woo! All right, there's your Jamboree. Coming up next in the news, we will talk urinals and the Portland Marathon. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Justin Verlander a little shaky early on. Tampa Bay up 1-0 in the first. Houston leading the Rays 2-1. ALDS.
Verlander on short rest, by the way. Never pitched in the postseason on short rest.
No. He was scheduled to once, and the game got postponed. So this is his first time. And he demanded to pitch this game, too, they said. And there's another run. Looks like 2-0.
Uh-oh.
All right. JC Babes, October 8th, 2019. Time for the news. I am your noted newsman. Today is World Octopus Day.
Ooh, the octopi.
So high We're five octopuses. Your octopus. It is also International Lesbian Day.
Mm. Well, you know what? Go octopus, go lesbians. High five.
So the Portland Marathon was extra long for about 15 runners on Sunday.
Why is that?
Well, they ran off course.
Wrong turn at Albuquerque?
Yes. And these were the leaders.
Oh.
Yeah. These guys were out. Because, you know, people take their marathons very seriously.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And,
Well, I mean, if you're going to run 26.2 miles, you probably should take it
might
seriously.
Might as well win.
Can you take it not seriously? That seems like an awful long distance to just be like, whatever.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, the leader people.
Sure.
It's a big deal. Yes. Whereas just finishing for 95% of the people is a big deal.
Yes.
Right. It's like, if I did it, I would just want to finish. I don't care how fast I run. Stop. Stop again.
Take a little break.
Walk.
Get into a van for a while. Ride my bike.
But these guys, these front runner guys, like, they're competing against one another.
Yes.
So just after mile 9, the leaders, about 15 guys in a pack up there, ran into a cyclist who steered them in the wrong direction. There was a biker that was leading the charge. This is a quote from one of the guys, and he told us to continue forward, so we thought we were doing it right. We all started figuring something was wrong when our watches started saying mile 10, and there was no marker. There was no aid station. The runner behind me was yelling, "Hey, are we on course?" And I said, "I don't know." I could see the people in front of me and still chasing them and hoping that suddenly we'd come around a corner and, oh, yeah, we're still on course. It just felt weird for a minute. Then the missed turn sent them down a busy Barber Boulevard, and that's when they knew. They were like, uh-oh. Cars are passing us, honking at us. Maybe we're not on course.
What do you do?
Well, apparently they just they tap into their super fancy watches and it got them back.
So you just backtrack? But so did they?
They didn't backtrack. I think they just found their way back onto what was supposed to be the course. And
so the marathon people, like the organizers, were they just like, all right, well, was that a shortcut, long cut, everything legit? What?
No, it's not legit at all. Like, they can't. I mean, that changes everything. So it says the group of about 15 top runners was stopped at a red light. So they're just hanging out at Barber.
Chance to rest.
They checked their phones and they used a map and they got back on course.
You swing by Bellagio's up there and grab a slice while you're waiting?
This guy said, I still ran a great race. Unfortunately, there is an asterisk by my time. With running and racing, your time is your stamp of approval and your time is what you go by. So when the group finished, they had run 28.1 miles.
Ooh.
1.9 miles more than a marathon.
Let me ask you, though. If you're an elite runner like that, is an extra 2 miles, is that a big deal?
Do you even feel it?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, for me, I would collapse and die around 15. So, 2 miles for me would be the end-all to be-all. But I'm guessing that those people? I mean, I know it sucks because their time's all messed up, but I'm guessing they run 28 miles and it's no big deal.
Well, I do wonder, when you're training for a marathon, do you ever go over the marathon length? Or would you actually feel it because you're like, oh my God, my body is not used to this extra 2 miles?
I don't know.
Because I think, I mean, just as for my personal example, I run anywhere from like 2 to 5. But if I'm at 5 and I go beyond that, my body's like, hey, what are you doing? You're not ready
right.
for this.
I'm sure those guys are so finely tuned that, yeah, their bodies would be like, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? This is mile 28.
You idiot.
Well, I just say this. The elite marathoners.
These guys were cool about it, though. They were like, eh.
It happens, right?
Well, I don't know that it does, but that's the way they handled it. So. And the organizer said, oh, whoops, sorry.
All I know is, like, those elite runners, they run, like, for 26 miles. Don't they average out it's, like, 5.5, 6 minutes per mile for, like, the elite runners?
Yeah.
That, to me, may be the most amazing physical accomplishment that I can imagine. And part of that is that I'm not, you know, I'm not a runner. And so when I put that in context of when I run, like, I'm with Mike, I can run anywhere from 2 to 6 miles. That's about the most I'm really comfortable running. And I run that at a 10 to 12 minute pace.
What about winning a gold medal at the Olympics in the decathlon and then becoming a woman?
Yeah. But again, that's not necessarily an athletic achievement.
Well, sure it is. Decathlon is not easy.
The second part, but I can wrap my head around someone being a great athlete and being able to do all those disciplines. But to be able to run a 5 and change mile, just that alone, being able to do that for 1 mile blows my mind. But be able to average that out, go to your local gym, get on a treadmill, and I don't know what that would be. Is that like run like when you do like the 1 mile an hour too? I'm guessing that's running at like at 9 or 10. For 26 miles, that blows my mind. I cannot comprehend what that is like to do physically. I'm just stunned by it.
Let's do one. You and I.
A marathon?
Yeah.
Can I walk it?
No.
Then no.
You want to do one, Mike?
Yes.
All right, you're on your own. Good luck, babe. I'll hand you water.
Thanks, Jerk.
I was trying earlier this year to run a half marathon.
I can't think of anything worse than running a marathon.
Yeah. It's awful.
No offense to you runners. I get it.
You watch the people, they finish, they're all cramping.
I drove past it this Sunday because it was right down here by the station was part of the route. And I drove past it to come in to do the Sunday show. They looked like they were dying. I was at the part of the race where it was me and you, the average Joe's running it. And it's like, oh boy.
There is a person in my family who is like unhealthily addicted to running.
Mm-hmm.
She runs 10 to 12 miles every day. And it's like not healthy. Like she can't.
It's an obsession.
Yeah, she can't stop. And you look at her and she doesn't look healthy. Like she's super skin and bones.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like it's a mental like, it's just weird. It's just weird. I think that you look at those people that run a ton and you see them, they're always out running around. I don't think they look that healthy, even though they're super healthy.
I know it's weird that some of them.
It's like, ooh.
But then when I lived in La Center, there was this guy, his name was John Dunkel, and he was like the distance coach at the high school, and he ran marathons and he was fat.
That's great.
He was like a little chubby dude.
Good for him.
But he could run all day. Like, he just cruised. It was the most amazing thing. He looked like Cal Ripken. You know, Cal, he kind of let himself go a little bit, like post-baseball Cal Ripken. He looked like that, and then he'd go out and he'd run 12 miles and dust you. Running is a very weird... You're right, because the ones that do it a lot aren't necessarily the ones that look like they're in the best shape.
No, they look like Skeletor.
And by the way, someone's saying that a six-minute mile is 11 on the treadmill.
Oh.
That's a six-minute mile. I can't do that for one.
I know.
And someone else said that the world record pace is about 438, 440 a mile for 26 miles.
Somebody text, can we talk about how Mike pronounces root?
Is root?
Like root. I don't mind it. Do you?
No.
What, root route?
Yeah, root route.
I mean, it's kind of...
Both are acceptable.
They're both correct.
That's what I believe, too. And I just wanted to bring that up. Somebody was thrown off by it.
I use them both interchangeably. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
You go back and forth.
I do.
Make that up because...
How do you feel about that?
I feel attacked by your snot.
Okay, let's get back on track. Hey, I've got urinal news.
Oh, all right. Yeah, the
you've been reading about this?
The bathrooms in Oregon are about to get a lot less efficient.
Well, it's not Oregon. It's just one building. But it's interesting what they're doing, and I just have so much questions.
It's ridiculous.
So that coming up next on In the News on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're busy next hour. Hot 5 at 5. We'll talk international sports incident. And Joe Harrington in studio. But this is in the news. Now, let's get to this urinal story. No urinals are planned for the newly remodeled City of Portland building. So the remodel, that's the one that's going to cost about $195 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Hopefully they don't use my contractor.
Right. If your contractor bid that job, he is living large. A spokeswoman said that she did not have a breakout on how much the bathroom work will cost, but the city of Portland is not including urinals in their remodel. They will have no urinals for the men.
Is this not the most Portland thing ever?
Urinals, for those who have never been in a men's bathroom, are porcelain receptors without seats or lids that allow men to quickly relieve themselves. That says here.
Does anyone, porcelain receptor.
Does anyone not know what a urinal is?
I'm well, sure just somebody in case. Doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
maybe
probably
like a 2-year-old.
Or a woman.
No, I
She's
think...
like, wait, what? They have different... They have pee stands?
I don't think there's a woman on the planet that isn't aware of urinals. And by the way, does anyone besides me miss the old elementary urinals that went all the way down to the floor?
Those still exist.
Yeah, they have some here and
some
there.
Restaurants use those still.
Yeah, you never see those anymore, really.
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
Were they really great?
I liked them.
I don't know. I think that
I feel
they
like
were
there was more opportunity
splash.
For a splashback.
Yeah, definitely. The total remodel will cost taxpayers $195 million, blah, blah, blah. The spokeswoman also said no one from the city was available to talk about the banning of the urinals. But in an email to employees last February, here's what they said. We will continue to have gender-specific male and female multi-stall restrooms that are readily available to any employee that prefers to use one. But there will be no urinals in any restroom in the building. This will give us the flexibility we need for any future changes in signage.
Question.
Okay.
Which, that sounds weird because... Yeah, go ahead.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Jace.
Wouldn't you just change the sign? Yeah.
Right. Is that a big thing? The future changes of signage is a big thing you got to prepare for?
But in every male bathroom that I've ever been into in my entire life, you got urinals... And you got the crappers. Mm-hmm. You got the stalls.
Usually 2 to 3 urinals and 2 stalls. That's kind of average, right?
Sure, right? Standard bathroom. What's wrong with that setup? Because if you go in and you've got the standard equipment, right, that came from the factory, you're great. You can use either one. You go to the urinal, or if you prefer to some privacy, there you go. If you're working with aftermarket parts, hey, no big deal, right? We all need a little tune-up every now and then. You just go into the stall and do your business. So, what's the problem with the traditional bathroom?
Well,
I think you're assuming a person's gender, Sue. You can't do that anymore.
I'm not assuming a person's gender.
No, he's saying
it works.
It doesn't matter.
The urinal assumes the gender of the person entering the bathroom. That's probably why they're saying get rid of it.
But if you're walking into the bathroom, either you're male or you identify as male. And I get it. If all we had was urinals, that would not be good.
You still have the option.
But here's the thing. Even in that bathroom, I, as a traditional male, would still be screwed over because what if I have to go in and, take care of some timber? I need the regular bathroom. I need the stall. But why not have both so that there's options? I don't get it.
This is going to further confuse you.
You're fixing a problem where a problem didn't exist.
Well, not for you, it didn't.
Well, for anyone.
Okay, here's the way I'm going to look at it. Try to be as, logical about it as possible. If it's just stalls, it doesn't affect you one bit. You can go in either one, any way you need to go to the bathroom, right? Yeah. If someone goes in and it's both, they can only use one, right? One type of porcelain receptacle.
Yes.
So if they remove the urinals, it doesn't affect anybody. It just makes it easier for those who identify as men.
Because everyone's going to be peeing all over everything. Because there's going to be a rogue stream, and now I got to go in, and let's say pee everywhere.
Wait. Isn't this more about who is in the bathroom with you? Isn't that what this is about?
I don't know.
Because this,
I don't know what this is about.
This says, let me read this part of it, because this will further confuse you. The building's first, third, and 15th floors will have large multi-stall bathrooms that men and women will use together.
Sure.
Other floors will have separate men's and women's bathrooms, but every floor will have at least one any gender bathroom. Overall, there will be 42 all-user stalls, as the city calls them, and 104 gender-specific stalls. So,
I still don't get why you can't have urinals. Just as an option. And I would think
forget the urinal part.
And I think that'd be more cost effective.
But wait a minute. Forget the urinal part. Why? I'm thoroughly confused as to when they say men and women will use together.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like those specific on the first, third,
sharing
and 15th
stalls?
Floor.
Like the love
anybody,
toilet?
Anybody can go in those? Is that what the way
are
I'm
Are they handicapped size so that you can share?
I feel like that's, I feel
are
like
Are they
that's...
like the Sochi Olympics and they're right
wait,
facing each other?
As a male.
Militaries are like that.
Am I, okay, so I guess I'm allowed to use any of them, right? I think that's what they're saying. I can use any of them.
I think so.
I won't have a urinal, but that's okay, whatever. Toilet's toilet. So if I go in the one on the third floor that's multi-stall bathroom that men and women will use together, as the story states, does that mean that there are women in there?
I think so. Well, they have the option, but I'm telling you, women, you don't want to use stalls that we're using. Trust me, it's disgusting. Any guy that has ever had to go into a bathroom, first off, if you're dropping some heat in a public bathroom, it's an emergency. Otherwise, you wait till you get home. Because we all know that when you walk into a men's bathroom or a predominantly male bathroom and you open up that stall, chances are you're not going to like what you see. So I'm telling you, women, you don't want to share with us. It's all kinds of bad.
Wow.
You can't control where that goes.
Okay,
it's like a fire hose out of control.
Stop, I don't know
stop,
how I feel
stop.
About it.
Question.
Yes.
Serious question. And for those who are who are on the text line
make
saying
sense, because
it's not the same for men.
What do you mean?
No. Like they're like, oh,
brother,
using a stall is worse than using a urinal. Okay. I enjoy urinals.
To pee?
Right, right. I
is
enjoy
that what
urinals.
They're saying?
Yes,
wait.
That's what they're saying. Because
really?
What I my logical argument was for men who are standard issue, as Suk would say, using a stall is effective for both, right? You can go number one and number two in a stall.
Yes.
My question for all those complaining about that, you don't have a urinal in your house. So what happens when you go to the bathroom in your house? Are you just spraying all over the wall and not cleaning it up? If you make a little bit
good
of a
question.
Mess, take some toilet paper, clean it up, and
see,
then leave.
But here's the thing. When you're at home, you clean up. When you're in public,
you don't.
People don't.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, you walk into a men's bathroom and you open up a stall, because I'm one that prefers peeing in the stall than I do the urinal, because I don't like the backsplash. I feel like when I pee in the urinal, I feel like I'm peeing on myself. So I prefer to go into the stall. And I'll tell you what, man, I go in there a lot of times to go to the bathroom to take a leak, and I am horrified at what I see. Because that's not just like a rogue stream or like a sprinkle. I feel like someone decorated that thing with like their own personal like a Banksy-like art project, and it's horrible.
Well, call me old-fashioned, but I find that a little odd. That it's just I could be in there doing my business, peeing all over the toilet, and then someone tinkling next to me is just someone's wife.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. And people are saying yes, that's exactly what it means. It's just that their stalls go all the way down. Like you can't. If somebody's in a stall, you can't tell if it's a male or female, which is fine.
Sure.
But I don't know, man. I just think that's a little odd.
I know in some
Are you going into that bathroom?
Yeah, I don't care.
I would use it. I don't care.
That doesn't bother me at all. Whatever. If a woman wants to come in and use my bathroom, knock yourself out. I am not a shy person and whatever.
So you're taking a growler. You're in there dropping a deuce.
Yeah.
And some lady rolls up, sits down in the stall next to you, and you're not like...
Hey,
no,
that's her
no,
choice.
No thing.
That
no.
happens when a guy comes in and you're taking a growler. You're like, ah, man.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
But then you keep going and you move on.
And I will tell you that
maybe I'm old-fashioned.
When you travel, there are a lot of other countries that I've been to where
I had that in Italy.
Yeah, it's a free-for-all sort of thing. And it is.
And I guess it didn't bother me much, but it was still odd. It took getting used to.
The first time it happened, like you're like in there going to the bathroom and a lady walks in, you're like, oh. And then you're like, oh, whatever.
Well, at first it was like I saw this woman washing her hands. I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong bathroom. And she spoke Italian. I don't think she had any idea that I thought I was in the wrong.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. Then I went back and looked at the signs. I'm like, oh. And that's when I knew.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so then I just went about my business. It wasn't that weird. But at the same time, I don't know.
I felt embarrassed once. We were up at a Mariner game and we were leaving. And we were walking to the car. And you know, like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to make it to the car. Like, I need to have a moment right now. But you can't go back into the game. So I ran across the street there. They have that brew pub right there. And I just ran in and just ran to the bathroom. And it was like, hey, we got to do this. And I ran into the bathroom, sat down, was doing some business. And that's when I realized I'd gone into the wrong bathroom.
Ooh.
Yeah. There were like ladies had come in and I was like, oh man.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I sat there.
You just waited out?
I sat there and waited it out and then was like, all right. As soon as I'm done, I'm going to run across the hallway to the men's bathroom, wash my hands, and hopefully not get caught. But yeah, I felt I was like, I felt bad. Like, I can't just emerge, especially, like, there was some damage happening. I can't just emerge from that stall and be like, hey, ladies, sorry about that one.
So, obviously, this was an emergency, but you said you waited. Did you wait, or you just waited for them to leave?
No, I waited for them. Oh, no.
Finished.
I finished.
Like, were you like...
This was like mid when I figured out that like there I was in the wrong bathroom. Because originally I was like, oh, what's this lady doing? Oh, I'm in the wrong one. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's my bad. Well, let's just go into the bathroom.
Notice?
Everyone, not that I know of. No one said anything. I stayed in the stall, and then as soon as they
see some like thick Danner boots or something underneath the stall.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I did the feets up. Like like no one look.
There you go.
Yeah.
And see your hairy legs.
No. Because I was wearing shorts and like some Jordans. I was like, no one needs to see this. Legs up.
That's a horrifying. I would be horrified in that.
I felt pretty.
Setting.
I felt pretty embarrassed.
I don't know, man. I'm just very modest. I'll just pee with the guys. I don't need to. Yeah. You know. And for those saying that men are just disgusting and lazy and their bathrooms are gross. We've done this before, and we have taken this very seriously. We have polled the public, and we did a club on this, and we determined through restaurant workers and people who work in buildings that have to clean bathrooms that women's bathrooms are more disgusting than men's.
Yeah.
That is science.
Yeah, someone's saying right here, commercial property manager, women's restrooms are far
they
worse
are.
Than men's.
They are. So guess what? I'm going to stick with my guys. You keep that filth over there, ladies.
I'm fine.
And by the way, it used to be a crime, right? It's like, oh my God, there's a guy in the women's restroom. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, let's all pee together.
Yeah,
it's just like overnight,
America.
Woke Portland wins again.
Doesn't bother me.
It's just weird.
Everyone's welcome in my world.
So no urinals for the newly remodeled Portland building. That should be exciting. Okay. And they'll probably have a lot longer lines. You know, you would think.
That's true.
It will lead to longer. But they probably don't have lines at a place like that. But if it were at... You know, like a Coliseum or something.
You can't have that like at a game or a stadium.
All right, that's in the news for October 8th. The Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.